when they started singing Shake the Foundation, it just took us back home to Jackson. And feels good in the presence of the Lord. What an honor it is to be with you and Pastor and Sister Roberts. And each one of you, you can be seated this evening. I do want my family to come. And my wife and little girl are going to sing. They're going to greet you. I want to say thank you to whoever it was that left the half full bottle of water on the front pew. I helped myself to it, thinking my wife left it for me. And so, thank you. It quenched my thirst. Worst things have happened. It doesn't bother me at all.
Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be with you tonight, worshiping with you in the house of the Lord. I feel such a special presence of the Lord, and you're a worshiping people, and we enjoy that. Amen. It's so fun to travel and see the faces of the kingdom of God. Our church family grows each place we go, and we're thankful for our church family. Amen. We're so glad to be in God's service. He's a wonderful Savior, and we love to take His light overseas where He's called us. He called both of us when we were teenagers, and it's amazing how God puts people together and how He puts hungry people in your path. He knows just how to do it. Amen. I'm going to let the kids introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Liliana, and I'm 7 years old, and I'm in second grade.
And this is Isaac, and he is 3. And these are our treasures from heaven. And we're thankful for them. Amen. Before we move on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our stuff. We've got this framed artwork down here. This is a photograph that my husband took under the Greek flag. And we are raising 4 projects. Liliana's going to tell you what they are.
MK Education, Language Study, and Airplane Tickets and Shipping.
Okay. So, on this flag that you see, each tile represents $1,000. And we have a ways to go, as you can see. And that's all of the project money there. And as each tile is taken care of, a church name or an individual name goes into this project jar, and at the end there will be a drawing for the special artwork. We also have on our table some original artwork by our family. Prints are all available of those things, as well as some things from around the world that you'll want to stop and look at, pick up, and take a prayer card and pray for us. Amen. I want to share with you something that the Lord shared with me when we were in Cyprus. I oftentimes would walk early in the morning at sunrise, because that was the only time I could have to myself to kind of meditate with the Lord and before the kids would wake up. And one morning I was walking and the clouds were very thick, but all of a sudden the light broke through the clouds, and the Lord struck my heart with this thought: broken things, let the light through. And the Bible makes a beautiful analogy of us as clay vessels, but many times we are marred in the hand of the potter. We get broken through circumstances in our spiritual journey, but broken things, let the light through, and He can make something beautiful out of your life with those broken places. But we have to trust Him, don't we? Liliana and I are going to sing. We like to worship the Lord in Spanish and in Greek and in English, and so we're going to do that. We're going to sing about trusting in the Lord. Amen.
Eres mi protector.
people that you can trust in the Lord. He's a faithful God. He will help you and He will keep you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship Him. He is able. Hallelujah. 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 Just trust in Him.
Thank you, Lord. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? Nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. The Lord called my family to Greece specifically, as my wife mentioned, as teenagers before we met. He called us individually to the mission field, but we didn't know where or when until we had been married for several years, and he began dealing with us about the country of Greece. And so we began the process. Everything in the kingdom of God is a process. And so we began that process and spent some time in Greece, working there, pastoring a church there that had been started. And then the Lord opened the door for us to go to the nation of Cyprus, which is one of only two Greek-speaking nations in the world, where we were able to learn the Greek language to proficiency, not quite fluency, which is why we have one of our projects as language study. We need to continue probably for another year to be considered fluent. And so there in Cyprus, we were able to connect with quite a few people that don't know the truth and have been in their religious traditions all of their lives. And the Lord opened the door for us to teach Bible studies in Greek to Greek people there. And Greece has been for a long time now a very closed country. It's been a very closed culture to the truth, because to be Greek is to be Orthodox. It defined them. Their religion was what defined them as a society, and that has been a stronghold for the truth. But God has perfect timing in all things, and He does all things well. And, you know, back in the New Testament times, there was a strong church in the city of Corinth. There was a strong church in Thessaloniki. There was a strong church in Philippi. And the Lord poured out His Spirit in specific Greek cities that were open to the truth. And in Athens, we can read about in the book of Acts, it was a very closed city. But we have approached that mentality that was in Athens that kept them from being open to the truth at that time has carried over and defined the Greek individual. But we are watching as God has raised up a generation that globally is questioning everything they've been taught. And we here in the church in North America have cursed this questioning, as we have seen young people walk away from the truth, questioning what they believe. But I don't believe that this is an accident, that God has raised up a questioning generation, and we should not curse what God is doing. What we should do is give them truth. When young people grow up in the church and begin to question what they believe, what they're looking for is something solid. And just do it because I told you so is not going to be enough for this generation, because God has opened this questioning generation to pour out His Spirit on cultures and on countries that have been closed up until now. And woe is us if we begin to fight that questioning that God is using to pour out His Spirit. What we need to do is just give them truth, because you have walked into a place tonight that believes the truth. You've walked into a church tonight that will teach you what the Bible says, because that's the only thing that will get us to heaven. And so if you feel yourself questioning, what do I believe? Don't begin to look elsewhere. Just begin to look in the Word of God and find it for yourself, because in it you will find the truth. And the Bible tells us that the truth will make you free. And the Greeks are starting to see this. And so there's a generation that is primed for revival among the Greeks like we have never seen before, because they are questioning. And a cultural identity is not enough for this generation. And just, this is what you do because we tell you to do it. It's not enough for this generation. It's not enough for this generation in North America. And it's not enough for this generation across the entire world. And God is pouring out His Spirit upon each one that is searching for truth, when we have made ourselves available to share that truth with them. And so the timing of God is perfect. And we're thankful to be in His service, available vessels for Him among the Greek people. In Greece, there's a very strong church that is an immigrant church. People from all over the world, really. From every area of the world. There's representation in the international church there that is primarily English speaking. And it has got to a point where it is growing rapidly, and they're starting international churches continually because it's that strong and grounded. There's a strong Greek Bible school, and all of that is, we're thankful for, and we wouldn't trade it for anything. But now it's time to see the same thing among the Greeks, and to see a Greek Bible school established and Greek churches begin to be planted just like the international churches. And this is the specific calling that the Lord has placed upon my family. And we covet your prayers in it, because this is a monumental effort ahead of us. Everything in the kingdom of God that we do is impossible by human efforts. And so we have got to link together with the Spirit, and we have got to link together with one another and pull together to see the kingdom of God come to earth as it is in heaven. And I'm thankful for what God is doing across the entire world, right here in Cleveland. Is that where we're at? Cleveland. If I say Cincinnati tonight, understand I mean Cleveland. They both start with C's, and I always get them confused. And I know they're different, but we go a lot of places, so forgive me. I get places and people confused now and then, so that's my disclaimer. Is that all right? So we covet your prayers in our efforts, and we covet your support. If the Lord lays upon your heart to support us through a PIM, talk to your pastor about it. And we need all that we can get to get back to the people that God has placed a love for in our hearts. And our children have not been able to learn Greek yet, and so we have to raise a Greek project to be able to have them play with friends. Liliana is our social butterfly, and she has perfected the art of playing with anybody silently. They don't have to be able to communicate, and she can work it out. But we've watched as God has opened doors with families through our kids, Greek families through our kids. And your kids are a tool that God has given you to reach your world. And we've watched as God has opened doors to families through our children, and we strongly desire to get Greek under their belts as well, so that it can be that much more effective. And so pray for us. Pray for the work of the Lord in Greece. Why don't we just stand right now and let's pray for the church in Greece, and pray for revival to be poured out in Greece together before we get into the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we come to you right now. Thank you for this church, God. Thank you for your people here. I pray, God, that you would pour out a mighty revival upon the nation of Greece, God, as we bind together in the spirit right now. I pray that strongholds would be broken, Lord, that truth would be loosed in that nation. God, that your spirit would provide for us to get back to that nation to work for you among the Greek people, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to shoulder the burden for the lost souls of that region. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to get into the word of the Lord this evening, and it's cold outside. We're from Mississippi, and it ain't cold like this there. And we use ain't down there. So, I'm tired of the cold. I don't necessarily want global warming, but I would sure appreciate Ohio warming right now. So, before this snow catches us, my kids love snow, but with the snow comes the cold. So before it catches us, we will try to be mindful of the time. Let's get into the word of the Lord this evening. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse number 44. Jesus is speaking and he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. I want you to catch that he says he's seeking pearls, plural. The next verse says, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Says the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. But the kingdom of heaven is also like unto a merchant man. So with the help of the Lord, I want to talk to us tonight on the subject. It's not really a title. I'm not good with titles. Forgive me. Many preachers are. I aren't. So hopefully we can stay on topic, though. Just want to talk to you about pursuing the kingdom. Pursuing the kingdom. Let's talk to the Lord one more time and ask him to speak to our hearts. God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence that's in this place, God. I thank you for your people, the response to your presence. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts. Make us good ground to receive your word tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you can be seated. Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus begins to teach about the kingdom of heaven through parables as he begins to fulfill the prophecy of old in Psalm 78 and 2 that said he would open up his mouth in parables and reveal truths that had been hidden. And this was fulfilled as Jesus began to teach through parables in Matthew chapter 13 and other places in the New Testament. And so, chapter 13 here, he begins to, through these parables, reveal characteristics of the kingdom that no one had ever understood as he is initially establishing his kingdom on earth for the first time. And there is a depth here in this series of parables that we can miss as we glaze over them in our daily reading, if we aren't careful, we can miss what he's really trying to relay about the kingdom of God. And I want to point out here that he's not saying that it was himself or his own nature that is like this, or it's not a segment of his kingdom that is like this, but he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and this is because there is a reality of the kingdom that applies universally to the entire kingdom and each member of the kingdom particularly. And so we cannot separate the responsibility that he is placing upon the kingdom to specific people, but we must shoulder the responsibility and embrace it as he reveals the truth to us and we embrace it. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking something valuable. It is both the seeker and it is also the reward. It is the merchant and it is the item of value that the merchant pursues. How can it be both? How can the kingdom of God be both the seeker and the reward that he is seeking? Because in these parables of truth, there is a dynamic depth that reveals the true complexity of the kingdom of God. And we've got to understand this to fulfill the purpose that he has placed upon each one of us in the kingdom. We know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, the Son of God, the founder of the kingdom of God. We know that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to remind you in this place today that there was nothing more valuable to him than you. He was willing to leave the 99 just to give all for just you. The value of the pearl was priceless to him. He gave everything to buy your soul. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was crucified. He was buried. And he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave, just because you were valuable. When he found you, he found something priceless. When he found you, he found something that there was no price too great to pay. When he found you, he saw your need of a Savior. And he decided to become that Savior for you. Now here's what we do as human beings. We like to say that Jesus died for us because I'm not worthy. Jesus died for us, but that is not what happened. He died because he was seeking pearls, specific individual pearls that when we put them together, yes, they become plural, but it was the single pearl that he was willing to give all for, because you are that pearl that he was seeking for. And when he found you, you were just enough for him to give everything for. And don't ever begin to relegate his sacrifice to a collective group, but understand and accept that just you as an individual was enough for him to give everything. There was a continual pursuit as he was the seeker from the origin of the kingdom of God. That seeking has never stopped. And as long as his kingdom is operating here on earth, that seeking will continue, because it is a seeking nature that he has founded the kingdom of God on. And the kingdom of God is seeking just one more soul that can be pulled from the grasp of the enemy and given life and hope eternal. And there is no cost too great just to reach one soul. That's why we do what we do. That's why we put money into outreach programs. That's why we build beautiful buildings and we buy beautiful buildings and put money into them. And many of the things that we do in the kingdom of God does not even feel spiritual. And we put effort and we put money into them, all for the sake of just reaching one more soul, because sometimes we're not going to reach them through a spiritual effort. But we have to understand that just one more soul is worth everything that we can put into it. There is no price too great. I don't know where you find yourself today, but if you're in need of deliverance today, he's seeking to deliver you. As much as you might want it, he wants it for you more. As much as you might need it, he desires to give it to you even more. If you're seeking salvation, he's looking to save your soul. He is the merchant looking for a pearl. And you are that pearl. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you aren't worth it, because he gave everything just for you. Don't ever let the enemy convince you of the idea that your neighbor deserves him, but you don't, because nobody deserves him. But when he founded his kingdom on seeking a pearl, he decided to do that just for you, because you were exactly what he was looking for. He's pursuing you today. He's drawing you today. And you will satisfy the desire of the kingdom of God if you say yes to him. There is no other pearl on this earth like you. There's no other pearl that will satisfy this longing that he has like you can when you respond to him. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking something valuable. And you're that valuable to him. We're going somewhere with this. But you've got to understand the value of one pearl. You've got to understand that you are that valuable pearl to catch this tonight. The kingdom of heaven isn't just Jesus and his pursuit. The kingdom of heaven has a seeking nature universally. And let me enlighten you. When you were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you became part of that kingdom. And that seeking nature that was founding the kingdom of God was transferred to you as an individual. And now he has put in this desire and this pursuit that has got to seek. So what is it seeking? What do we seek as members of the kingdom of God, as part of the kingdom of God? What are we required to seek? Well, the scripture shares that with us. Aren't you thankful for the word of God? So, I want you to understand that in this parable, verse number 46, when you read it, just gloss over it. You don't catch this kind of stuff. But I want you to understand here that it was more of a casual seeking that led to the pearl. Because there's no way you can pursue everywhere, wholeheartedly, all the time. You're going to have your focus somewhere. And it's more of a casual pursuit. He's interested in finding a pearl. And he happens upon a pearl. And then it's after he finds the pearl that he went and sold all that he had to pursue it. When he found it, he understood the value of it. And he was willing to pursue it with the entirety of his life. Everything he had from that moment was put into that pearl because he realized there is nothing more valuable and there is nothing that will last like this wheel. There is an expectation that God has placed upon each and every one of us that once we become part of the kingdom, we will begin to pursue that kingdom as a valuable pearl and we'll be willing to give everything to pursue it. Don't expect the level of commitment that led you to the truth to be the level of commitment that he expects for kingdom membership. Did you catch that? Don't expect that casual searching for something because there is a longing in the heart of each and every soul on this earth for something and they don't understand what they're looking for all the time. But there is a hunger and a desire and there's something drawing them and they pursue it somewhat haphazardly and looking but they don't know what they're looking for until they are filled with the Holy Ghost and have their sins washed away in a watery grave of baptism. And once that happens, a revelation should come over you that you have been given a valuable pearl that nothing in this world can compare to. And all of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you're willing to give all to pursue it. You're willing to give everything to see that kingdom flourish because God puts in us a responsibility to pursue the kingdom of God with everything in us. What got you here was a seeking. But once you have found it, he expects you to give all to pursue it. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 12, as he sighed deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does this generation seek after a sign? Because you will always be seeking something. You're always going to be pursuing something in this life. It's in our nature. If you're not, something's wrong with you, because there's a drive that God has put in us to be pursuing something, to find something of value in this life." And in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, he says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth." Whatever you're pursuing, I promise you, you'll find. What are you pursuing today? Don't expect the people of the world to have the same commitment level you have. See, we love the truth. We love what God has given us. And when we share the gospel with somebody, we expect them to become as passionate about it as we are. But sometimes they don't embrace it quite so readily, and they don't accept it as fast as we would like to. And sometimes it's confusing because they're looking for something and we just showed them what they're looking for. But don't expect the world to have the same level of commitment that you have to the kingdom of God, because you don't know how valuable this pearl is until you've experienced it. They don't understand how valuable truth is, because they don't understand that it's truth until they have experienced it. But when you find Him, you should begin to recognize the value of it, and it should drive you to do something for the kingdom irrational. The world shouldn't understand the level of commitment you have to this church. It should drive you to turn your back on worldly pursuits and give everything to the kingdom of God. There's a statistic that I hope is true, because it preaches great. There's a statistic, I believe it's true, that 80% of what happens in a church is accomplished by less than 20% of the people. You may have heard it. Again, I hope it's true. I think it's true from observation. But why is this the case? Because God has placed in every one of us, when He fills us with His Spirit, He has placed upon us the responsibility to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And somehow we begin to relay the responsibility of outreach to the outreach director. And we begin to put the responsibility of teaching Bible studies onto the pastor. And we begin to relegate being friendly to visitors at church to the ushers. Did I just say that? Because we feel like they're going to do it better than me, or this isn't my responsibility, or this isn't my place. But when He places the gift of the Holy Ghost in us, when He gives us this pearl of truth, it should drive us to do things for His kingdom that nobody else even understands why we're driven. You should get involved in the church on a level that seems crazy to the world. They should begin to ask, "Why do you go to church so much?" And your answer should be, "Because I found a pearl that demands my life." Why do you give so much of your hard-earned money to the kingdom of God? Why do you give so much to the missions? "Because I found a pearl that demands my pursuits. I've found a joy like I've never known." Why do you get so crazy when you get into the presence of God? "Because I found something that demands my dignity be sold to pursue this kingdom." Something's got to well up inside of you when you begin to realize what you've been given, that'll drive you to a place of irrationality. "I used to not be so happy, but I found the joy that my spirit craved. I used to be hopeless, but I found a hope that I can't explain. It's beyond this life. I used to be so empty, but now my heart is overwhelmed just by the mercy of God." And you've got to experience it to understand it. There's no safer place than pursuing Him with your whole heart. There's no safer place than giving everything to the kingdom of God. But let me break this down for you to where we live. Sometimes when you pursue Him with your whole heart, you're going to come up. This is why I believe. I'll finish that sentence in a second. This is why I believe people don't pursue Him with everything as a general rule. Because when you're pursuing Him, sometimes it feels like the more you pursue Him, the less you find Him. Has anyone ever experienced that? The more you push in prayer, the harder prayer becomes. The more you begin to fast, the more resistance you begin to feel. The more you come to the church and begin to pour yourself into it, the more life begins to fall apart and you can't keep your schedule together anymore. And then you start trying to weed out the stuff for the church because it's not necessary anymore, because I've got life falling apart at the seams. And this is why I believe people don't pursue with everything. Because this is a reality. Because Paul put it this way. I forget the exact scriptural reference, but he put it this way. He said, before us is a door, an effectual door. And there are many adversaries. What you've got to begin to expect is the more you push, the more the enemy's going to push. He didn't say, but there are many adversaries. He said, and, because it's just understood. The more I begin to pursue Him, the more resistance I'm going to feel. But let me remind you of what He said. He said, seek and ye shall find whatever you're pursuing. I promise you, at some point you will find Him. The angel told Mary, you remember after Jesus died and He was buried in a tomb, Mary goes on the third day to that tomb. And she's looking for Jesus. And all she finds is a place of emptiness and death. Let me give you a revelation that's not real attractive. Sometimes pursuing Him, it'll feel like you come up with a place of emptiness and death. But I want you to see what the angel told Mary as she began to look for Jesus one more time. God was so good to give her an angel to speak this word to her in Mark 16:6. He saith unto Mary, be not afraid. Why? You seek Jesus. That's all that matters. You don't have to be afraid. If you're pursuing Him, there is no reason to be afraid. Because as long as you keep pursuing Him, I promise you, you'll find Him. Yes, you may have come across a place of death. Yes, you may have come across a place of emptiness temporarily, but as long as you're pursuing Him, you don't have any reason to fear, because you will find Him, and He's not going to be dead. You will find Him living and full of power, full of resurrection power. Jesus said in Luke 12:29, seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For this is what the nations of the world seek after. But don't you understand? Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Don't you understand? You don't have to pursue life like you used to. You don't have to pick up an extra shift on Sunday like you used to. I know it's sensitive, but you don't have to skip church on Wednesday night whenever your midweek is. You don't have to skip Bible study to make life happen anymore. Because if you will seek first the kingdom of God, he said in verse number 31, all of these things shall be added unto you. I don't have to be worried preaching it because I didn't say it. It's in the Word of God, and the Word of God can't lie. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God, he'll take care of everything else that you worry about. And so in this pursuit, we understand that the kingdom of God is the merchant seeking a pearl. And we understand that the kingdom is that pearl. And the more we pursue the kingdom, we'll find that pearl. And we should be willing to give all for it. But I want you to see the depth of this. The kingdom is the pearl. But you were the pearl that the kingdom was seeking. And so, as you begin to seek the kingdom, the kingdom is seeking you. Now you become part of the kingdom. You see where this is going. Now you become part of the kingdom and you begin seeking another pearl. And so what do I get out of this? What do I get? What is my reward? Why do I commit my entire life to the kingdom? Why do I give so much to the kingdom? Why do I sacrifice for the kingdom? What am I going to get out of it? And verse number 44, Jesus answers this of Matthew 13. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. He said, and for joy thereof, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven is not only the pursuing, but it's also the reward. Why am I pursuing? Because what I'm going to get in return is what the kingdom produces. Jesus said, it's with joy that you sell out to the kingdom. Because the joy comes from seeing the treasure found. The joy is seeing that next pearl pursued and purchased just like you were. The joy is in seeing salvation given to the next soul that would have died without hope had you not given all to see them reached. The joy is in realizing it doesn't look like much on the outside today, but it's a treasure and it's priceless to him. And as a result, it's priceless to me. And so I no longer look at my neighbor the same way. I no longer look at them curtly and I no longer look down on them, but I begin to see how broken they are. And I understand that pearl is just as valuable to him as I was. And they're no more valuable than I was. But they are every bit as valuable as I was. And they're a pearl that no one else can quench that longing that the kingdom has. Because just like there's no pearl like you, there's no pearl like them. And the joy is in seeing that neighbor become the next treasure that brings him joy. And when you get into this rhythm of seeking, and you're seeking the kingdom is seeking you, and you begin to seek that next pearl, you are robing yourself in the nature of the kingdom. And now, I don't get joy from buying things. Now I don't get joy from taking another great vacation. But now the reward I'm seeking is to see one more treasure found and understand that treasure is just as valuable to me as it is to him as I watch God transform another life. But he said the joy is in seeing not just that treasure purchased, but an entire field purchased because you decided as part of the kingdom of God, I'm taking on his pursuit, and I'm going to find joy in what he finds joy, and I'm giving my life for what he gave his life for. The reason he purchased an entire field when he found the pearl was because if there's one pearl there, there's likely to be another pearl there. And I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost tonight, there are countless pearls out there in your city that are just waiting for there to be a pursuit of them, just like somebody pursued you. And there are countless pearls in the nation of Greece. God raised up a church hundreds of years ago in Greece, and I'm telling you, he's got another church there, just like he did back then. Because if there's one pearl in the field, the likelihood of there being another one becomes really high. And so as you pursue the pearls of your field, God is pursuing every pearl in every field. And he is linking his church together to buy the field just to see one more pearl given hope and life. The kingdom of God is both the merchant and the reward. Let's stand this evening. Why don't we gather around the front? And I want us to bind together and ask God to lead us to those pearls. For God to give us a burden for his kingdom like he desires for us to. For the cares of life to begin to fade to the past. And allow his kingdom to become our priority as he has designed for it to in his word. In the name of Jesus.